Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today, it is my honor to share with you some thoughts on the critical development of pediatrics in pre-modern China, its significance and the close relationship between medicine and divination. First, allow me to take this opportunity to thank the ICACAP, Professor Lochner, and my fellow colleagues for their generosity, kindness, wisdom and inspiration in all aspects. I'm grateful for what they have done for me. In order to express my sincere appreciation, not just lip service, I would like to give everybody in this room a gift, which is easy to learn, to remember, and to practice. The gift, of course, is related to the main theme of ICACAF, a method of divination, namely, Ma Qian Ke or Ma Qian Gua. This technique is generally attributed to Zhuge Liang. He was the prime military advisor of Liu Bei, the founder of the Shu Kingdom in the 3rd century China. It was said that right before he riding a horse for military affairs or important occasions, Zhuge Liang always used this method for prediction. Therefore, this Ma Qian Ke, literally meaning riding a horse immediately, is particularly designed for predicting events or things which will happen very soon. For example, you are going to take a bus to Nuremberg later. You can apply Ma Qian Gua to foresee if you can get on the bus on time or not, and so forth. So how to do the calculation and prediction? I'll give you some handout. All right, so we use our left hand to do the calculation. There are altogether 6 positions or locations. In a way, we can call it also gua hexagram on 3 fingers, just like the slide show. So starting from the first position, Da'an, clockwisely, it is named Da'an, Liu Lian, Su Xi, Chi Kou, Xiao Ji, and Kong Wang. So we do things like this. The first position, Da'an, means generally good. Finally, you would accomplish what you want. For instance, you will go to Nuremberg by bus. Dan predicts that the bus will eventually come, but you have to wait for quite a long time. The second position, Liu Lian, literally means lingering or wandering around. So it takes quite a while to accomplish what you want. So the bus is likely to delay. Or on your way to Nuremberg, the bus may encounter something that delays the journey, technical problem perhaps. The third position, Su Xi, means you will be very lucky and immediately get what you want or wish. The bus will come very soon, in a minute or two. And it is likely to arrive on time or a little bit earlier than scheduled time. The fourth position, Chi Kou, literally means fighting or arguing with each other. So the bus is likely to be canceled or something drag you for not going. The fifth position, Xiao Ji, means auspicious. The bus will arrive quite soon. 7 to 10 minutes, perhaps. The sixth position, Kong Wang, means nothing will happen or be accomplished. Maybe drivers are on strike. There will be no bus service later. That's practice Ma Qian Ke. First, we need to know the date of today by using traditional Chinese calendar. So I've checked. Today is the ninth month and the 28th day. So starting from the first position, we count clockwisely. So we count 9 first and land on the third position. And then we starting from the third position again, we count 28 and land on the sixth position. So today, no matter what kind of question we ask, the sixth point, the sixth position is the starting point for today to do any prediction. And second, of course, we need to ask a specific question or to think of something to predict. Try to avoid questions which will not happen very soon. For example, do not ask questions as following: if you will get married next year or not. Or ask, if you marry someone, will you be happy thereafter? Instead, you should ask, if you have your wedding ceremony tomorrow morning, will your bride or bridegroom show up? This is more practical question for this Ma-Qian-Ke. So let's ask a specific question. If my talk today satisfies everybody in this room. All right. So let's take Professor Langner's Chinese surname, Lang, as an example. Lang, this character, has 10 strokes. So we starting from the sixth position and count clockwisely. We count 10, and we will land on the third position, Suxi. So I presume today everybody will be satisfied with my talk. If you happen to know if you happen not to know a single Chinese character, you can think of any number instead of the strokes of a Chinese character. You can either think of 2 or 3 numbers at a time and add them together. For example, you ask a question: will you win the lottery tonight? And 3 numbers, 7, 4, and 5, pop up into your head. So this number altogether is 16. So again, we're starting from the sixth position, Kong Wang. And then 16, you count 16, you will land at the third position too. So you will be rich tonight. Congratulations. So don't forget to make a donation to ICACAF. In pre-modern China, or modern China as well, there are 2 types of this kind of numerology associated with hands. One is using hand, palm, or finger as a tool or media to do calculation in order to foretell the future. The other kind of divination skills involve reading hands, finger, or palms to predict one's future. So Ma Qian-Ke, you have learned is belong to the first type. Now, I'd like to discuss a little bit about the second type of the art of chiromancy in pre-modern China. In China, like many other given societies, the purpose of reading palms is to look into one's characteristics, personality, and to predict one's fate, destiny, and future. So once again, I like to use Zhuge Liang as an example. Zhuge Liang also means Zhuge Kong Ming. Just like I have introduced that he was legendarily thought to be the most intelligent figure in the Three Kingdoms period. So if anyone happened to have Kong Ming Yan in this position, Kong Ming Yan, something like this or this, both can be regarded as Kong Ming Yan. So if you have Kong Ming Yan in both hands in your thumb, then of course you are an intelligent people or person, or you will be an intelligent scholar. So if you have his shape of eyes like this, then you will be a scholar. And if you, besides, in the center of your palms, like this number five, if you happen to have this one and a very straight line here, and on the left-hand side of the slide, if this line happen to have two branches stretching to your ring finger and your small finger, then you will be a very successful and outstanding scholar. So please feel free to check your palms. I think all of them, you are all intelligent scholars, so you all have these two signs on your palms. In pre-modern China, apart from telling one's fortune or personality, experts of chiromancy and physiognomy can also prognosticate one's current and future health condition, and to predict one will recover from an illness or not. Pediatricians incorporate these techniques or this kind of techniques into their practice. Yet, they emphasize more on the reading of their young client's physical condition. So the second part of my talk today will focus on this particular aspect of pediatrics in traditional Chinese medicine, TCM in short. Usually, the audience will easily get bored by the main part of an academic lecture. Some might just fall asleep. Most of the speakers will either be offended or frustrated, but as a historian of history of medicine, on the contrary, I would see this as one of my small contributions to you, because some of you might have difficulty to sleep in the night. So if you sleep well now or later, after you wake up by the end of my lecture, please tell your friends, students, or those who cannot come today that my talk helps and you really enjoyed it. Thank you. So before introducing the art of chiromancy and physiognomy in traditional Chinese pediatrics, I'd like to pose two questions first. First, in pre-modern China, it was commonplace to say that Yi, medicine, Bu, divination, Xing, astrology, Xiang, chiromancy, and physiognomy were closely related. They were classified as the same category of Xiao Dao, small way, except embracing the same ontology, cosmology, and sharing similar political, social, cultural, and intellectual contexts. In what ways they were substantially related to each other? Can we find any concrete example that links medicine with divination, chiromancy, and physiognomy? The second question is, why was pediatrics officially recognized and identified as an independent branch of medicine in the early Northern Song Dynasty? In the Eastern Han Dynasty, in the first century, the official historical records, Han Shu, only listed one single text, namely the Fu Ren Yin Er Fang, related to pediatrics. This text has long lost, but judging from its title, it at least contained two parts, pediatrics and gynecology. So it is fair to say that there was no pediatric monography at that time. Moreover, there was no any pediatric master was ever recorded in any official documents either. During the medieval time, the average life expectancy was 30 years old. Infantile and children mortality was very high. Not many effective cures were guaranteed. Parents often frustrated and complained about the efficacy of medicine. Pediatrics, therefore, was deemed as a very difficult field to seek fame or reward. So most male medical experts rather pay attention to adult medicine than pediatrics. This situation gradually changed, owing to the fact that in the Eastern Han Dynasty, many emperors came to the throne in their youth. The imperial court was therefore aware of the importance of the health of the young imperial family members. Furthermore, during the medieval time, population decreased because of constant political chaos, wars, migration, and infectious disease. So there was an urgent social political call to prolong the life of children. By the 6th to 7th century, at least 10 pediatric texts were recorded in official history. More and more pediatric texts were composed since then. A medical officer was assigned to take care of the crown prince, who was in most cases a child. And the pediatrics became a required subject in the Tang of official medical training. 300 years later, in the Northern Song Dynasty, pediatrics established its exclusive theories and practice so as to firmly claim their, its own domain in medicine and was recognized as an independent branch, Xiao Fang Mai. So what happened to pediatrics between Han and the Song Dynasty? Pediatrics must have gone through critical development both in its theory of body health and disease and its practice, including diagnosis and therapy. Therefore, I would like to focus on the breakthrough of the diagnostic techniques of pediatrics. In order to answer these above-mentioned questions, allow me to quote Yan Jizhong, who compiles Xian Yi's famous pediatric text, 小儿药证直觉, in the early 12th century. Yan Jizhong thought that medicine was extremely hard to master, and with no doubt, pediatrics was the most difficult division and the specialty in medicine. He then provided five reasons for it. Four of them are as following. The first, children's visceral system, Zang Fu, was so frail that they are constantly susceptible to coldness and hotness. Their health condition are unstable and often changeable. So this would compromise the diagnosis. Second, children's mind, pulse, is hard to feel or detect simply because children's hand, palms are too tiny to take pulse, especially those who are under 3 years old. Third, children not only cry while they meet doctors, but also easily being frightened by any stranger, of course, including doctors. Furthermore, children's infants in particular, they are emotionally unstable and even changeable all the time. This would definitely cause inconvenience or even trouble during diagnosis. Fourth, children cannot clearly express themselves. They could not speak of their pain and suffering. In some cases, they even fake in order to attract parents' attention. In pre-modern China, because children were regarded as silent patients, pediatrics also addressed as 牙科, a dumb specialty. So according to Yan Jizhong, these four reasons all concern the diagnosis of children. These factors indicate that premodern pediatric experts indeed encountered various kinds of diagnostic problems in practice. This apparently urged them to find solutions. This solution can easily be found in all extant pediatric texts in the Song Dynasty. So new sets of diagnostic methods were applied to examine sick children. Before introducing these new diagnostic methods for children, allow me to brief you the art of diagnosis of TCM first. There are altogether four major diagnostic methods: Huang, Wen, Wen, and Qie. Huang is to look, to gaze. The practitioner will observe your appearance, primarily your face and tongue, your figure, the way you walk and talk, and the place, of course, where you feel pain, uncomfortable, etc. Wen is to listen and smell. So the practitioner will listen to your voice and any kind of sound coming from your body. He or she will also pay attention to any smell you might have. Wen is to interrogate. So the practitioner will ask you all kinds of questions concerning your previous and current health condition, and even those of your parents. The fourth one, Qie, is to take pause, like this. It is the most decisive procedure in the TCM diagnosis. It requires sophisticated techniques to detect which part of your body is affected or imbalanced. So the doctor will take or put his fingers on 6 points. These 6 points is right here, very close to your wrist. It was called San Guan, the three gates of your body. And the three gates is Cun, Guan, and Chi. So you can try yourself. If you would like to try yourself, you have to do it like this. So each pause in each position is thought to be related to one of the 12 mai. The translation of mai are several, so you can translate it mai as circulation channels, circulation tracks, or meridians. So each point related to one of the 12 mai, and each circulation channel corresponds to one of the 5 zang and 6 fu, the visceral systems, and Mingmen, the gate of life. So after taking your pulse, the TCM doctor will then know which part of your body needs medical attention. For example, the pulse of the left guan, the second position, here, guan, correspond to the liver visceral system and the gallbladder visceral system. So if the pulse in this particular position is abnormal, beating too fast, beating too strong, too slow, or too weak, and so forth, the patient is likely to suffer from liver or gallbladder-related disease, or even some digestion problems. So after taking pulse, together with all symptoms and physical information, the doctor then prescribed medicine in order to alleviate the pain, to heal the disease, and to restore the balance of the body. So these four diagnostic methods are mainly designed for adult patients. As Yan Jizhong pointed out, they were not all suitable for examining crying but silent and frightened children or infant. So under such circumstances, only the method of Wang looks promising. So indeed, from the Song Dynasty onwards, pediatric account regarded Wang as the most indispensable and decisive technique of diagnosis. Yet, it is unclear when, where, or who invented or reformed the skill of Wang in pediatrics. There are two leading pediatrics Wang skill in the Song Dynasty. To a large extent, it was further improved, systemized, and standardized in the Ming Dynasty. The first one was also named Sanguan Zhenfa. So they tried to find another set of the three gates in the children's body to do to make the diagnosis. And the second one was called Toumian Zhenfa, so facial examination. So I'll introduce the first method, Sanguan Zhenfa, first. So, Sanguan Zhenfa, here, the three gates are located in the index finger. So there are Feng, Qi, Ming, three gates. So it is deemed, of course, as the parallel of adults' three gates, Chun Guan Chi, in their wrist. Instead of taking pulse at the Chun Guan Chi position, practitioners look into sick children's three gates of the index finger. These usually apply to children under 3 or 5 years old. There are three gates in the index finger, just like the slide shows. We have Feng first here, then we have Qi, and we have Ming. So Feng Guan, Qi Guan, and Ming Guan, the gate of Wind, or the gate of information. Qi, the gate of Qi. Ming Guan, the gate of fate. So although we can see it as the equivalence of the three gates of the adults in their wrist, Chun Guan Chi, yet it requires more visual observation. So practitioners will examine any visible shape and colors of lines, patterns, prints, or signs in these three gates to make diagnosis, and further to determine if the young client would survive or not. In the past, the most important purpose or task or standard of diagnosis in TCM was not only to identify the disease, but also to accurately foresee and predict the course of the disease, and of course, more importantly, the chance of survival. So pediatricians will follow this classical principle to examine children's finger, the index finger. Besides, in clinical practice, there is conventional gender differences. So if the young client or young patient, the sick child was a boy, then physician will examine his left finger, the index finger first. If it was a she, her right index finger would be checked first. It is generally believed that the first or earliest sign of disease will appear at Fengguan first. So if the illness hasn't been successfully treated, then those signs or lines, whatever, will stretch to the gate of Qi. And the illness, of course, affected the vital and essential Qi of the body. So the chance of survival will reduce accordingly. In case the signs or lines not only reach the gate of fate, Mingguan, but also turn dark blue or black, the patient's life is in great danger. He or she's fate, Ming, will have terminated. So this index finger examination, very similar to the art of chiromancy. So pediatric experts look into all these kind of prints, lines, signs on the index finger of children. Before the Song Dynasty, practitioners has noticed pattern of this sign as well as their connection with health and disease. However, due to the lack of materials before the Song Dynasty, it is very hard to trace the origin of these techniques. So there are various kinds of shapes or signs or lines could be found or appeared in the index finger of a child. For example, the shape could be straight, or could be a circle, or curvy, or web. It may look like a hanging needle, like this, or it may look like a fishbone like this. Or even you can find a Chinese character, shui, here. But at the first glance, you may think it's okay, but it is not okay at all. So this is the Chinese character shui. Could appear here. And of course, there will be some lines looks like an English alphabet, like Y. Or you can also find an S here. And sometimes, of course, it can look like a snake and a very cute one. So here comes more of lines or signs, etc. These could have been found in the index finger in pre-modern time. So I'm not sure. I think maybe we have lots of parents here. I don't know if you have the same experience. So far we have seen many kinds of signs or lines might have appeared on a sick child's index finger. So we can make a comparison at the first glance, you will find the idea principle and the method of children's index finger examination fairly resemble to those of the art of chiromancy. So for example, all these signs or lines is very similar in a way to the chiromancy. These signs on a child's finger are different in shape, in length, color, and pattern. So by close observation, medical experts would differentiate the syndromes in accordance with those signs and then make a diagnosis. And more importantly, to foretell the chance of survival or recovery. So in so doing, they no longer need to worry about the difficulty of taking pulse for those infants or toddlers or young kids. So up to the Ming Dynasty, at least 13 patterns of signs in children's three gates are clearly identified. So it's called 13 kinds of shape in children's index finger. So the pattern color location of this sign were relatively associated with a certain disease. So for the sake of memory and education, masters also compose verses for their apprentice. So these verses can largely be found in pediatric treatises. In addition, pediatric experts also observed how sick children clench their fist. They use this to learn the severity of a common syndrome of children, Jing, frightened disorder, which was considered as one of the four major children's diseases in pre-modern China. In the Ming and Qing periods, most pediatricians performed and proved this index finger diagnostic method. Only a few disagree. For example, in 1695, a very famous physician, Xia Yuzhu, he and his father practiced pediatrics for more than 70 years. He claimed that the index finger examination was totally of no use. He argued that the fingerprints, lines, or any signs were inherited and would not change after birth. And the facet of the index finger was too small to reflect or to show the whole health condition of the body. And of course, the third, he argued that the shape and the pattern of signs on the index finger was easily confused. Therefore, according to his father and his own clinical trials, he insisted that only the Toumian Zhenfa facial examination was reliable and requisite. He then composed a treatise called Youke Tie Jing, the translation would be Iron Mirror of Pediatrics, to propagate this the theory, principle, and the techniques of facial examination. In fact, since the Song Dynasty, many pediatric experts simultaneously apply both methods to make diagnosis. So let's discuss a little bit about the facial examination. In China, physiognomy mainly concerned the lines, wrinkle, spot, moles, and their color, position, location, shape, size, and length appearing on the face, ear, or the head. Specialists divided the head into many parts, like you have seen all these Chinese characters. Each part corresponds to certain kind of reading and prediction. Although medical facial examination emphasizes on the physical condition, it basically share the same idea, principle, skill, and terminology with physiognomy. Physicians believe that each part of the face, each sign on the face, correspond to certain circulation channels or circulation tracts and visceral systems, and truly reflect the health condition. So it is still, of course, classified as one of the four classical TCM diagnostic methods, one looking. It suits both adults and children, yet in practice, pediatric specialists tend to heavily rely on these techniques. So why is the facial examination so important or so crucial to make a diagnosis? Because TCM practitioners regarded the head as the confluence of all yang and yin energy and all circulation channels. And the face reflects the condition of all yin and yang visceral system as well as the essence of qi and the xie blood. Hence, examine the head and the face, 头面, is important, essential, especially for those silent children. Pediatrics experts, especially in the Ming and Qing periods, tended to divide children's face into 8 different areas corresponding to the Bagua 8 trigrams of the Yi Jing, the Book of Change. So as you can see here, the 面部印, Bagua 图. They employed techniques of 8 trigrams to predict the fate of these young patients and the result of their illness. So during this process, in order to predict if the patient would survive, it is also important to consider the direction or position location and its correspondence with the wuxing, the 5 rays. So here it's pretty small, but maybe you can find it. Wuxing is very important here, together with the Bagua, the 8 trigrams. So the color of the lines, signs, or wrinkles is decisive in the facial examination too. So altogether, as we can see here, we have 6 colors on the right picture on the slide. So verdure, qing, red, huang, yellow, and black, purple, and scarlet. 6 colors. So if the face, for example, here on the slide, if the face turns black, or the forehead here looks smoky black, the patient will not escape death. So any lines or wrinkles in the face will also be taken into consideration. So the shape and the color and the length determine if the patient will recover from disease or not. So if the verdure of white or scarlet line grows to the mouth or turn into black, the child will not be cured. So the place, location, or position of lines are so important, as you can see on this slide. This picture shows you where are auspicious or where are dangerous or lethal. So luckily, many areas are thought to be safe and auspicious. If you got something right over here, or over here, or here, are considered to be auspicious. But these 2 positions are extremely dangerous. This picture is very much useful, especially for those experts in smallpox and measles. So after introduce these 2 diagnostic methods, we can see that they are very crucial and very important in the traditional Chinese medicine, especially in the pediatrics. And this kind of facial or index finger examination are still included in modern TCM pediatrics textbook. Yet they are, of course, they are placed and practiced in modern scientific context. So for the sake of time, I'd like to do my Conclusion. The art of pediatrics has long been regarded as the marginal domain within the practice of medicine in early China. Children's voices were not loud enough to make their way into historical records either. However, medieval China not only witnessed an increase in pediatric texts and experts, but also an enthusiastic creation of theory and practice. Pediatrics therefore gradually asserted an independent voice and finally become an independent or individual division in the Song Medical Bureau. So my talk today focuses on the creation and the employment of unique diagnostic methods designed only for young kids. These techniques definitely help pediatrics cope with clinical difficulty and gain firmly ground in medical profession. These diagnostic methods, closely related to the art of chiromancy and physiognomy. According to the early Tang famous Taoist physician, Sun Simiao, who is praised as the medicine king in China, he suggested that apart from learning, studying medical classics, and the collections of effective prescriptions, another major qualification of being a great medical expert, Da Yi, had also to master the art of divination, including oracle bones, 8 trigrams and 60 diagrams of I Ching, the Book of Change, chiromancy and physiognomy. This is especially true in pediatrics. So treating a crying but silent child, pediatric experts require more sophisticated diagnostic skills. Therefore, pediatricians seemed to embody all the quality of a great medical expert, Da Yi. Previously, I quoted Yan Jizhong's remarks of 5 difficulties a physician encountered in practice. I introduced only 4 of them. The one I did not mention earlier is that no classical medical text provided any instruction to treat sick children. And even the legendary medical sage, Huang Di, Yellow Lord, cannot master pediatrics. On the surface, this fact seemed to lead pediatrics nowhere, yet it allows pediatric experts more freedom of creation both in history, in theory and the practice. So not surprisingly, as I have just demonstrated this evening, pediatricians did a pretty good job in pre-modern China. So thank you very much for your attention. So those who fall asleep can awake now. So thank you very much.